This is CliffCentral.com.
Go, shorty. It's a Wednesday. We're going to party like it's a Wednesday. I am excited, man. You know why? Because it's Wednesday. It's my favorite day of the week. And I'll tell you, it's also my favorite hour of the week. Every Wednesday, 3 p.m. to 4 p.m. on Unleashed, right here on CliffCentral.com, I get to hang out with the most amazing people. And that is you listening there, man. How are you doing today? It's a Wednesday. Let's have fun. And I want to welcome you to Unleashed with myself, Kagiso Modupi, a.k.a. Kagmo. And as usual, you know, on Wednesday, we hang out and we get to talk about things that people don't want to talk about in relationships. But I have to tell you, today we got a special guest. We got a special guest that I'm going to be co-hosting with today. And ladies, I got to tell you, this one is for you, Mr. Something Nyana Boma Eye Candy. I know it's radio. Mara, this is Eye Candy. You know, he's here to hang out with us, R&B superstar. And I'm not going to give out his name right now, but I want to tell you, we're just going to have a chat with him, and because he's in the country, not all the time, he's in the country like sometimes, but he's always here, you know, he's always here, but you know, today we're just going to have a conversation about all the other previous topics that we have spoken about on the show, and we want to get his view and what he thinks of it, you know, so we're going to be asking him all the different questions, and he's going to be giving us an answer. So stay tuned, and we're coming with the man himself right after this. And all I have to say is, all I have, don't go away.
You're listening to Unleashed with Kagiso Modupi
every Wednesday from 3 to 4 p.m. on CliffCentral.com. We got you. Unleashed with
Kagiso. All right, welcome back to the best show on this side of the equator. The show is called Unleashed. And like I promised you, I try to sing earlier on, you know, I go, I'm never too busy. But the man himself is here, the king of R&B, in my opinion, the king, because you've serenaded us, you've serenaded our partners for years. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Kenny Larimore is in the building.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Welcome back.
Thank you.
I say welcome back because it feels like you live here.
Yeah. And I love it like that. I love it like this is home.
So this is home for
it
you.
Is great to be back home, and all the familiar places, all of the familiar faces.
Yeah.
It's brilliant.
That's good. Look, I know that we, you know, you're a busy man and we've got only a little time with you.
Okay.
So the show is called Unleashed.
Unleashed.
And this is the kind of show, you know, we talk about things that people want to talk about in their relationships.
Oh, okay.
So what we've done for this edition is that we've gone back to all the other shows that we've done.
Uh-huh.
And we want to find out, you know, what your opinion is
On
some of our topics.
Okay. Let's go.
Yeah,
let's
we know that, you know, you're here at home already. So, you know, I'll just get straight into it. One of the things that we spoke about is that, you know, it's the modern times, modern world. And I know you come from a traditional family as well, you know, where the man is the provider of the family. And now the times have changed. You know, women now are taking charge and they're working. Do you think that, you know, there should be a shift if the roles were reversed, where the woman now is the provider of the family? Do you think that maybe we as men should now take the chores that, that women traditionally did, like cooking and all that stuff? What's your take on that?
Well, I think that I am traditional in the sense that I believe that the man is the head of his household and the protector of his household.
Yeah.
But as a result, I think he has to have wisdom to know who is the best person to do whatever the chores might be.
Yeah.
There are tons of men who are chefs who are better in the kitchen than their wives.
I'm one of them.
Oh yeah. And then there's some men who are phenomenal with the children.
Yeah.
And some women just aren't in the exact same manner. Some women are better with the finances than men are. So I think that if I am heading a household, I have to make decisions that are just going to be the best for the household, and that means you just go to the person that you think is most skilled in that area.
Yeah.
Instead of just a traditional format. Yeah,
yeah,
absolutely.
Another question that we want to ask you is, you know, we've been painted as men.
Yes.
That, you know, we are afraid of commitment.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what do you think is the reason that most men are afraid of commitment?
Wow. Good question.
Yeah.
I think that a lot of it is how we're socialized, mm-hmm. and how we're brought up. I think women from the beginning are told, this husband's going to, and this family. And then it may be a more natural thing for a woman as a nurturer that she wants to nurture a family. We are conquerors, and
yeah.
we're made just differently where we feel a little boxed in when someone says, and this is it.
Yeah.
You know, once you're married and this is the end of everything for you, that's what it feels like to a man,
uh-huh.
as opposed to this is the beginning of an extension of your life, or you're going to learn other things about yourself, or you don't hear a lot of things that really focus on the benefit
of marriage.
Marriage. You don't.
Yeah. As a man.
As a man.
Because there are benefits. I mean,
mm,
there's
absolutely.
Children, there's, mm. there's stability, there's a whole lot more.
Absolutely. And we have, and for black men, now,
yeah.
I don't know how it is for, completely in South Africa, but in the United States, we black men are highly sexualized because
yeah.
our private parts are supposedly larger than the most
no,
of the
yeah,
world.
Yeah, yeah.
And but
yeah.
the other portion of that is okay, yeah, because we're coming from African descent.
Yeah.
And we were feared as a result of that, and a lot of, even though some things are a lot of myths, we're feared and revered to the point where we're over-sexualized
yeah.
in our society.
Yeah.
Everything is about sex. It's like, what in the
yeah.
world? Why? Why?
Yeah.
We are also stereotyped as just being animalistic.
Mm-hmm.
So there are those almost caricatures, like cartoons of us
yeah.
that other cultures want us to live up to
yeah.
and that they relate to that are not true about us.
And they forget that we're also human.
We're human beings,
we
and
feel,
we have emotion. Yep,
have
absolutely. And a lot of that I try to talk about through the music. We may not know how to properly express our emotions,
yeah.
or we may communicate it differently than a woman, but we have the same fears of rejection. We have the same emotions about, if things are going to really work out, it affects us
yeah.
too. I went through marriage, and I thought it was wonderful and had a lot of great things about it, and I went through divorce too, which was
yeah.
horrible.
Yeah.
And I learned a lot of things about myself in that. I learned my strengths.
Yeah,
but it hurt me just as bad as it wouldn't hurt anyone.
Yeah,
and a lot of times we go, oh well, she was hurt.
Yeah,
and she was so hurt, and it's like oh wow, yeah, it's like
yeah.
oh, cause, we're painted with an unfair amount of strength that we're inhuman.
Yeah, that we're inhuman.
Result, we don't feel
we're invincible.
And
no,
it's not true.
I know that obviously your divorce is, you know, years ago.
Oh yes, like 7 years ago.
Yeah, 7 years ago. And I think now we are over it. We're
yeah.
all
oh,
over
absolutely.
It. And you are also over
absolutely.
It. So that's why we don't like to dwell onto that. We
oh,
still
yeah.
love Shantae, we love you,
oh,
we
no,
love
absolutely.
The music, you know.
And you learn from everything
yeah.
that you experience. We should never take away our process.
No.
Because it's in our process that we find wholeness. That's what one of the things I've been really thinking about lately is if I am whole, particularly
yeah.
coming back from divorce, so even if it were not a divorce, if I was just coming in to marriage for the first time
yeah.
without any of that, being whole is dealing with all of the past so
yeah.
that you don't have the scars sitting on top of you.
Because as men, we don't talk.
We don't talk.
And we don't have space to talk.
Right. So a yeah. lot of times what happens is those scars don't heal uh-huh. in the same manner. And anytime someone accidentally bumps that scar, It really bleeds, and the pain is more severe. Like, oh, wait a minute.
Yeah.
It's like, wait a minute. Don't you have a scar from
yeah.
that is healed by now? And it's like, no, some of those scars have not healed.
They're not healed.
And we have to question, are we ready to be in our next relationship? Because we don't want to bring those things in and it'd be a detriment.
To ourselves.
Absolutely.
You know, speaking about detriment, mm-hmm. one of the things that are so detrimental to a marriage
mm-hmm.
is cheating. Uh-huh. Right? Mm-hmm. And it happens all over the world.
Yeah,
and you might sometimes look at a couple. I've been married for 11 years. Mm-hmm. And sometimes we're viewed as like the best couple in South Africa. You know?
Nice.
You know, we've been together and we do things together. But things happen in relationships, in marriage. Mm-hmm. There's also cheating.
Yeah.
Right? So my question is, you know, well, this is one of the topics that we once had.
Okay.
That is cheating justifiable? When it comes to marriage, if your partner is not satisfying certain needs, mm-hmm. and you've sat and you've had conversations about it, and, mm-hmm. and not necessarily sex, because mm-hmm. as black men, we just mm-hmm. seen as we just want to have sex. Mm-hmm. Is it justifiable if you're not satisfied emotionally, physically, you know?
I think that it is justifiable.
Yeah.
I'm going to say yes, it's justifiable initially. Because we, like you mentioned, we think of cheating as just, oh, you went and you had sex with somebody.
Yeah, yeah.
When, to be very honest, there are tons of people who have done that and they have gotten over the sex. I think that the more dangerous cheating, if you will, is emotional affairs.
Emotional.
When you have an emotional affair with someone, you're in that affair. It's not just something that you did.
Yeah.
Because sometimes in the beginning, it's not something that is a detriment to the marriage immediately.
Yeah.
Sometimes we think, oh, no, it's okay because I'm over here talking to my girlfriend.
Yeah.
And my girlfriend and I talk about this. It's usually same sex, too. It's a different kind of cheating. It's not a homosexual thing. It's the same sex that we emotionally cheat with because it's safe for me to go, I'm going to give all of this to my boy over here. I'm going to tell my boy all of my stuff.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to tell my wife. And the same thing she did. I'm going to tell my girl all this stuff over here.
And I'm not going to tell my husband. Yeah.
And then what happens is other people get involved in your relationship and it becomes a mess. Now, when it is brought to the surface that it is a detriment to the marriage, it is a problem if you don't know how to cut that off.
Yeah.
I've experienced that too.
Yeah.
And I've been like, you know, this person can... Yeah. And sometimes it's not always, this person can never be a part of our lives ever.
Yeah.
But if someone is involved in your relationship and there's no boundary, I think that it is fair for a person to say, for my marriage, I need to step away from that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Even if it's for a time period, I need to show the commitment to the marriage and step away from it and say, okay, I'm not going to spend time with this person because I need to sow into my marriage, and then perhaps one day we'll get back to what our normal relationship is. But I've also been in relationship where the woman has said, nope, I'm not giving up this and I'm not giving up that.
Yeah.
And this is okay and it's healthy, and it's like, wait a minute, I'm telling you that we're dying because this person is involved and they're in it, and I've had the whole reaction of, no, that person is not. And it's like, okay. And when that happens, it's going to be over.
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 Absolutely.
But you know, when we're talking about actually just bringing the things up and talking about it.
But it's the respect that what you're telling me is important enough for me to address.
Yeah.
And it is not always about us changing to make somebody happy.
Yeah.
Because we cannot make each other happy.
Yeah.
You have to bring happiness into a relationship. You cannot think that, oh, now that this person is doing this and then the other, it's going to make me happy.
Yeah.
That's going to end your marriage too.
You know, like, but what I've also learned is that, you know, just having a conversation with you is that communication is key.
Absolutely.
And you get to a point where you say, this is my best friend.
Yes.
You know, you call this person my best friend. And when you are with your boy, who's mm-hmm. your best friend, mm-hmm. you're able to tell them when there's something that you don't like.
Because you trust them.
Exactly. Yeah. But you also just are able to bluntly, you know, say,
but you know why? A lot of people, again, the cheating or the trust factors come up because of fear.
Yeah.
When I'm with my best friend, I don't have a fear that I'm going to lose that person.
Yeah. No matter how blunt.
But in relationships, it's like, oh, I did something wrong. She's going to leave me.
Yeah.
That's immediately what we think. And that fear begins to guide the relationship to a doom.
And you see, this now leads to my next question, which is another topic that we had.
Sure.
Is fear of having to openly speak to your partner, right? The honeymoon stage is over.
Mm-hmm. Honeymoon's over.
Honeymoon's over. Honeymoon's over. Now you've settled into the relationship or the marriage,
mm-hmm.
and you're becoming comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
Now there's certain things, maybe, you know, where her body changes, mm-hmm. or how her attitude would be, mm-hmm. or your attitude.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think is the best way to address where your partner, if they've let themselves go?
They let themselves go.
Because that also affects you, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you're absolutely right. Everybody, it's another progression.
Yeah.
I'm not saying this is a negative or positive, just another progression and an evolution. One, you have to find out where your partner is emotionally and how they feel about themselves. I think that's where the deeper root of things are, because a lot of times we want to do it for us.
Yeah.
Babe, you know, you can say things like, you know, I really used to love it when.
Yeah.
You know, I loved this. Do you think we can get back to this? Is this asking too much to get back to this? Because I think it would enhance our relationship if we got back to this
or that.
Yeah. But it's really tough if you see someone really losing in terms of their health.
Yeah.
And their shape. And that is another thing. Babe, I'm concerned about your health. Mm-hmm. I'm concerned about you being your absolute best. This is not the person that I met.
Yeah.
It's those kind of things that you'd have to say, and not making it about you.
You, yeah.
Because I want you to do this. I'm not attracted to you anymore. Yeah. I'm not this, I'm not that. When those kinds of wordings come in,
then it's a bit of a problem. Because sometimes we always think that it's just physical.
Exactly.
But sometimes it could be,
it's emotional, and then there's mental. Some people have mental illness.
Yeah.
Where they are, and emotional illness.
Yeah.
Where they're dealing with insecurities and things that we never knew existed before we got married. Yeah. And that's a tough thing too, because I believe I experienced that as well.
Yeah.
I believe that I was in a relationship with someone that had some mental illness or possible what's called a borderline personality disorder.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm not saying that as a dig at that person to say this person's a bad person, but these are real things. And in the Black community in America, we tend to want to just pray those things away.
Yeah.
And we don't want to discuss the fact that mental illness is a factor a lot of times.
In relationships. Yeah.
And that is a part of losing yourself, losing that piece of, you know, who you were. It's just like losing shape.
Yeah.
So when someone is in that, and it was difficult for me because I'm not a therapist, although my mother was a psychologist and one of my older sisters is a psychologist, it's interesting to me, looking back, because I'm not in that relationship anymore, but when I was going through it, I just kept going, what's really happening?
Yeah.
What's going on?
What's going on? Yeah.
And I was seeing television shows and different things, and they were talking things that weren't true, and I was like, you're living an alternate reality.
Yeah.
But when I go back, I go, this person is dealing with either narcissism.
Yeah.
I mean, clinical narcissism. I'm not talking about just, again, being beneficial. Or they're dealing with a emotional issue that has nothing to do with me.
Yeah.
But if I need to take, and that's why you don't hear me. Exactly. Yeah. And that's why you don't hear me speak negatively in public about it, because it was bigger than that. I actually love whoever I've dated or I've been in relationship with, I've truly loved.
Yeah.
And as a result, I will protect that. I don't care, because they can't destroy me anyway. That's because of my faith teaches me that they can't destroy me, and no weapon formed against me is going to prosper. So you can say whatever, but we have to know that it is such a reality that people are dealing with things that we have no.
But you know what I like about what I really like about you, Kenny, is you just still having that instinct in you. Mm. To protect.
No, absolutely.
You know,
absolutely.
And not to come out and attack, you know, unless, because those people still meant a lot to you. They still meant very dearly to you.
Absolutely.
All right, look, we're about to wrap up with you, but I want just a last question. We've just recently lost Mama Winnie. You know, we've also lost Brahim, you know, big icons in this country. And I know, and I'm speaking to you as a son of this country, what did those people mean to you? Musically, and you've met some of them, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And I think that we need our heroes.
Yeah.
We need to hold them and their legacy as high as possible, because their sacrifice has allowed us to be and do the things that we do.
Mm-hmm.
They sacrificed so that we would have, you know, just sometimes it was just simple rights as human beings that you would think, oh yeah, everybody.
Yeah.
But we go from generation to generation, and sometimes we throw away our legends.
We do.
And
we do.
If we don't keep them in the proper place, history will be rewritten.
Yeah.
And we talk, they talk about fake news a lot in the U.S. a lot.
Yeah.
It's so easy because we have history books that tell a different story.
Yeah.
In the U.S., some of the U.S. history was starting to get rewritten about slavery.
Yeah.
And it was saying that we were free labor workers or something.
Mm-hmm.
That, and terms and things change. And it begins to distort the truth.
Yes.
But we know here in South Africa that the truth is we have had amazing freedom fighters who have sacrificed their lives.
Yeah.
And we need to always give homage and be thankful and grateful for what they've done so that we're able to have a radio show here. And
exactly.
Be in the, we could not be in this in hotel.
In this hotel.
In this room.
Yeah. And we tend to take that lightly as the new generation. But we need to be the ones that pass on the information.
Absolutely.
To our kids.
Yes.
You know, because our kids are also just slowly losing culture.
Absolutely.
Look, I know you're a busy man. You're running out, you know, out of time.
This has been great.
Yeah.
I appreciate it.
Yeah.
I appreciate the depth of this interview.
Of
what you are doing.
Yeah.
I encourage you to just continue in greatness.
No, I mean, I appreciate it. I appreciate it, especially when it comes from you.
Thank you.
So, tell us, you know, you're doing, you got your show here.
The show's here on Friday.
You got a new album.
New album is Vulnerable. It's in stores. You can, if you like social media and all of that, go to KennyLattimore.com. You can follow me on social media. You can hear about my next tour dates, when I'll be back to South Africa.
Well, you're coming here all the time. You're coming here all the time. So, what's going to be different with this show?
That we're going to break down
the
set and make it very intimate for the
6,000 to 8,000
people that are in there. But it's but I'm really going to do some intimate singing because there's some songs that are dear here that we don't play as much in the U.S.
Yeah.
And then there's some songs that are brand new. I'm introducing a lot of new music.
That's good.
From this Vulnerable album and my last album, Anatomy of a Love Song, that South Africans may not know, but the way that I'm going to present it is in a very romantic and very intimate
way. The Kenny Lattimore way.
It is the way.
Yeah. Kenny Lattimore, legendary R&B music, singer, and also our brother.
Yes,
yeah.
Absolutely.
Well, it was nice having you on the show.
Thank you,
man. We really, really appreciate you coming through, man. And we hope that next time you just pop into our show.
Hey, absolutely. We'd love to.
Kenny Lattimore is leaving the building.
This is CliffCentral.com.